Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, once again we may come together to be instructed by thee out of thy holy word. Lord, we need that instruction since our fall. As since we have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses, and since we have lost thy image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, then we have become so darkened that we do not know the way anymore. We know not anymore what thou requirest of us, and therefore thou hadst to publish unto us again thy holy law. Nor know we the way that we can be reconciled unto thee, our Maker, again. And therefore thou didst publish unto us thy holy gospel. Lord, wilt thou remember then each and every one of us in this afternoon hour, that we may receive instruction from thee? Then it is necessary, and that all our own wisdom is taken away from us, that we may not know it anymore. For we have lifted ourselves up in our father Adam to be unto ourselves our own gods, knowing good and evil. But we need to be shown what our sin is, and we need to be brought in the dust before thee, in order that we may receive again instruction as a little child, that we may need the prophetical office of thy dear Son, that thou may teach us and that thou may lead us in that way that we must go, in that safe way, in that good way, in that way that leadeth unto life everlasting. Lord, remember then each and every one of us, and grant us that true humility that we cannot miss, that we don't have of ourselves by nature. And wilt thou fill us with the Spirit of the Lord, that may hunger and that may thirst after thee, that may desire thee in all thy ways, that may run after thee. Lord, wilt thou give that many may have to be born again. May it be even under the preaching of thy holy law, that also in our midst the arrow may come forth by thy Spirit through thy word, as a sharp two-edged sword in this day, to strike the hearts and to make men cry out under the burden of sin and iniquity, that we may desire and need that blessed mediator that thou hast sent into the world. Wilt thou give it also by renewal unto thy own church? Lord, wilt thou bring them by renewal into that place that they are unable to bring themselves, where men must be utterly nothing, that place of impossibility, that place of losing our own works, that we may be given to see the work of Him who has accomplished everything, that a place of losing our own life, that we may be given eyes to see Him who is the resurrection and the life. Oh, that we might die, that we may be given a sight of Him whose life is the foundation of the everlasting life of Thy church. Lord, glorify Thyself in the midst of us, even in the days in which we live with our dear children. Wilt Thou remember us not only as a congregation and as families, but look also upon us as a denomination. Lord, wilt Thou remember all Thy truly sent servants? Wilt Thou give more servants into Thy vineyard? Because the vacant congregations are many yet. The harvest that is plenteous, the laborers are few. And Lord, we are in ourselves so weak against all that cometh against Thy truth. Lord, wilt Thou then raise up able men who are truly called and converted by Thee, and that they may go forth also in that labor, and that there may be many that still have to be converted. Remember Thy servant who has received a call unto our sister congregation in this area. Lord, may Thou bind it upon his heart. Oh, could it please Thee to send him over to help them and to help us. And Lord, that they may behold the face of their teacher, and that also there may be a work of Thy Spirit that is waiting upon Thy sending. Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou would look upon us as a denomination. Oh, do keep us with that old truth that Thou hast given unto us by way of our forefathers, against all that is coming against it. We have so little power. But Lord, Thou art God, and Thou art over all Thy church. Oh, may Thou preserve that truth also for the sake of our dear ones, for the sake of us and of our dear children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, each and every one, that many may still be born in Zion, and that Thou may truly lead Thy people from step to step upon that way unto Zion, that only way, that one way, that way that goes through that straight gate, and that way that goes upon that narrow way, that way that leadeth unto life everlasting. And wilt Thou put away all the devices of the devil, wherein he seeks to make a different way, wherein he seeks to allure men even to their own destruction. But Lord, may we be given that true knowledge of our deep fall, of our spiritual inability, that we may be given also to experience what it is, not to save ourselves, but to be saved by Thee. Oh, then Thy dear Son shall receive all the honor and all the glory, that Thy word also may be brought over the length and the breadth of the world, also upon the mission fields. Lord, may Thou remember our own field and the circumstances which attend it. Could it please Thee to send one of Thy servants also for that purpose? May it be to raise up men that may also go unto such ones, and that so thy kingdom may come, and that many may come from the east and from the west. Be especially with those that are persecuted for the sake of thy holy name and truth. O give to them courage to continue on their way, and may thou thyself be near and dear unto them. Give us an impression of what it means to live in freedom. Oh, that we may despise the slavery of the devil, and that we may seek that true spiritual freedom in free and sovereign grace. Lord, may thou look upon our nation and our people, of whom that we are a little part. We have heads over us. We have those that rule us. Oh, may thou help them. May thou convert them. Lord, may thou give them an understanding that they may see their great responsibility before the great office bearer, and that so they may carry out their office as in the sight of God, that thy holy law may have a large place, that they may rule according to it, and that we as a nation and as a people may be drawn away from all our iniquity to walk in thy truth, that thy Sabbath day may be honored, and that the unborn may cease to be slain, that all uncleanness may be put away, that thy name may be glorified. Wilt thou look upon all those that are sick? They are young, they are old. Lord, look on each one of them, and also those that mourn. Be with all those that have crosses. They are known to thee. Lord, remember them in their secret chambers. Oh, may they receive a place there to cry, and there to receive that help from above, that thou may take over their burdens, that they may experience that thou art the living God, and that so their soul also may be drawn to love thee. Lord, we beseech thee for our school, principal teachers, and all those that labor there from day to day. Oh, give them faithfulness. Lord, convert them, that they may set an example before our youth and children, and that our children may receive the profit thereof. Oh, bless those labors for the souls of our children and young people. Put fences and walls about them to keep them from foolishness and from sin, that they also may be saved, and that we all together might learn to walk in thy fear. Oh, be with us in this afternoon hour. Lord, thou knowest what is before us, and that holy commandment, and that we are called to speak of in this afternoon. Oh, wilt thou give us to speak to the edification of the hearers. Oh, give to us ability, Lord, to be orderly, to be reverent, and to be clear, and that thy name may be glorified in all thy house. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 325, stanzas 1 through 4. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1 through 4 of Psalter 325. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Out of Lord's Day 14, questions 108 and 109. Lord's Day of 41, questions 108 and 109. Question 108, what doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. So far, our Lord's Day. The commandment concerning uncleanness. First, the guilt of uncleanness. Second, the definition of uncleanness. And third, the remedy for uncleanness. The commandment concerning uncleanness. First, the guilt of uncleanness. Second, the definition of uncleanness. And third, the remedy for uncleanness. All uncleanness is accursed of God. That is something, congregation, because what does it mean to be accursed? And when we speak a curse, that means that we are asking God to come with his judgments. When a person is cursed in this world, then God is sought that he may condemn such a person, that he may punish such a person. And here we read not of being cursed by men, that is to call upon God to punish men, but here we read of being accursed of God himself. All uncleanness is accursed of God. Punishment, that is something that is meted out in the court. Thus, when there is a curse, then it is an application to the great lawgiver and the one who will pronounce a sentence upon men. Thus, this commandment that brings us into the court before the law. Young people, did you ever work upon the farm or where you do work, and return after a hard day's labor filthy? Then you walk down the street and you meet a police officer. Are you then afraid to meet that police officer? You say no. And why are you not afraid to meet him? Well, you say, I have not done anything wrong. And that is true, your conscience does not speak, and therefore you do not fear the upholder of the law. And why is that? Because there is no law that is written against such an uncleanness. If there was such a law, then you would not want to meet such a man, because you would then be arrested and taken before the judge and cast into prison. But now you may still go home. And when you come home, then what does your mother say? She says, you shall not eat except you wash. Why? Have you then done something wrong? No, you are not in a court. You have come home. And your mother says there shall be no communion. You shall not dwell with us, because not that you are guilty, but because you are so filthy. And you are then to us who are clean loathsome. Thus you see there is a difference between guilt and pollution, filth. Guilt, that is something that brings us before the law. Guilt, that is something for which we are condemned. Pollution, that is something for which we are loathed. Pollution is something which prohibits us from having communion. And now what does this seventh commandment do? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Our fathers say that all uncleanness is accursed of God. Well, this seventh commandment, this is making a connection, a relation between these two things, between filth, pollution, and guilt. What does the seventh commandment do? The seventh commandment makes filth a crime. The seventh commandment makes filth punishable by the law. The seventh commandment is the law against uncleanness. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. That means it is not only now loathsome, and a person that is filthy, that is polluted, he is not only to be rejected out of communion, but this person that is filthy, that is polluted, is now punishable. Because there is now a law against such filth. That is the law of the supreme judge. That is the law of God himself. Justification and sanctification They are two distinct concepts. Justification is what we call a forensic term. That means it is something which has to do with the law, with the court. And the court that is dealing with guilt. Thus, justification has to do with freeing from the guilt of sin. Sanctification, on the other hand, that is what is cleansing from the filth of sin, from the pollution of sin. Thus, they are two distinct things. Justification, guilt. Sanctification, filth or pollution. But what does the Lord do now in the seventh commandment? In the seventh commandment, the Lord is making a union between justification and sanctification. The Lord does not confuse these two things. No, they remain distinct things. Justification, sanctification. But it is in the seventh commandment that these two things receive a very, very close relationship. That means that they no longer are able to be separated from one another. The seventh commandment, what does it do? The seventh commandment requires sanctification by the law. Thus, the seventh commandment makes us worthy of condemnation because of the guilt of our filthiness, the guilt of our uncleanness, which is now guilt because of the law. What does that mean? That it is not just a preference whether we desire to be clean or to be unclean. No, but it is now a requirement of the law of God. That is, the law of God is requiring holiness. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. What is that put to death? That is a punishment now. Thus now there is a punishment because of uncleanness. All uncleanness is accursed of God. But actually, what is uncleanness? That brings us to our second thought, the definition of uncleanness. There may be things that are unclean in our eyes, which are not unclean in the eyes of the Lord. And there may be things that are clean in our eyes, which are unclean in the eyes of the Lord. Rome sees a certain uncleanness in marriage and also in eating meat on Friday. Paul writes to Timothy about those that would teach the doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Thus Paul says that the Lord sees no uncleanness in marriage. nor does he see any uncleanness in eating of meats. Marriage, the Lord himself says, is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Thus we may be very wrong in what we think is unclean. And we may be very wrong in what we think is clean. The men in Sodom saw no sin, felt no uncleanness in homosexuality. But God rained from heaven fire and brimstone. Thus, congregation, how wrong that we may be. And what is necessary for you and I, that is not that we know what we feel is wrong, no. But what is that uncleanness in the sight of God? And why? Because in the first place, he is our judge. He is the one before whom we will have to stand and give an account. Thus, for the guilt of this sin of uncleanness. In the second place, he is the one that if it were well, that we desire to be reconciled unto. And he can have no communion with sin. He is holy. Thus, for the filth, for the uncleanness, then we would never be able to come again into his communion. Thus, how necessary that we are instructed in what is unclean in the eyes of a holy and a righteous God. How may we know this? We may know it by his word. We may know it by his law. There are many things written. The scriptures in a number of places call that sin of uncleanness by the word of confusion. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. Thus the Lord calls it confusion. What is that confusion? That is actually a violation of nature. That is a violation of the divine order. That is to use something that God has given to us for a certain purpose and to take it and to abuse it or use it for a purpose that is contrary to that purpose of the Lord. Confusion. And when things are confused, then there is often a mixture. So that the distinctions between things, they then become blurred, that we cannot distinguish anymore the one thing from the other. There is confusion. And when that confusion that is of a sexual nature, then we call this perversion. There is in our world, a great confusion, a great perversion of that holy institution of marriage. There is adultery. That is now confusion between husbands and wives, and that we cannot know, that we do not see anymore, which is that true husband, which is that true wife, a mixing. There is polygamy. That is confusion of the very nature of that marriage bond. That singleness of that marriage bond, of the jealousy that the Lord gives over that marriage bond. There is incest. Incest, confusion of parents and children or very near relatives. Thus, there is a great confusion in our world of that holy institution of marriage. But that confusion, that is even to a greater degree, when the very sexes themselves, male and female, are no longer distinguished. The Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, have ye not read that from the beginning they were created male and female? We live in a world that greatly confuses male and female, men and women. We live in a world that greatly confuses this difference, this distinction that the Lord has made in the human race. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense which is meet. Not congregation that we ought to hate. Such a person, as if we stand above such a person, as if we are less sinful, but we ought to hate that sin, as they also ought to hate that sin as they find it in their own heart. Homosexuality, transsexuality, men becoming women, women becoming men, a great confusion, an abomination before the Lord. This distinction between men and women, the Lord has given to us safeguards against mixing the male and the female. He has made them different. He has made them different in their body, physically. The one we know is stronger. The other is weaker. Is that always so? No, that is not always so. That is in general of men and women. We find the same in their emotions, that there is a difference between the man and the woman. We find it in their need for dependence, that the Lord has created these two differently. Thus, it is not the truth and that men and women are equal. It is not the truth that men and women need the same thing.
The Lord has made them different. And the Lord has also commanded them to be different. He has commanded them to do differently. He has commanded them to appear different. And that you and I may have nothing to do with the confusion that this world would bring upon male and female. Thus he has given to the woman a place, that place in her home, if it may be that she may have children, that she may receive that most blessed place of caring for the children. And the Lord has given the man the place in the field, the man the place to support his family. The Lord has given her the place of submission. The Lord has given him the place of head, that is, the place to rule. The Lord has said she may not speak in the church. The Lord has given that task unto him. Thus, the Lord has given them different tasks. The Lord has made them different, and the Lord has also commanded them to distinguish themselves in their appearance. We read of two ways in the Word of God. One way is in their hair. Thus the Lord has commanded that they must look different, appear different in the length of their hair. That the length of the hair of the woman is to be long, and the length of the hair of the man that is to be short. Then the Lord has commanded that they must also look different, appear different in their clothing. Congregation in our own denomination, we in general, we hope it is more than in general, we hope that is with everyone, see a very great abomination in homosexuality. We agree together that this is a great sin. You and I, all of us together, we are still looking upon that man who makes himself effeminate as an abomination. When he will come with earrings, when he will come with jewelry, when we will see him dressed in a skirt, then we say that man, he makes himself so obviously effeminate into a woman. And our congregation, why is it that for such a large part in our denomination, we hope that it is not such a large part among us as a congregation, that we no longer see abomination in those things that a woman will do to make herself to appear as a man. When she will go out without a skirt, without a dress, or when she will cut her hair short as a man's hair. When there would be one of our young men, and they would let their hair grow long. Then I believe there would be those who would say to us as a consistory, we may not allow this to happen. But how is it that we have left the doings of the world, which are working this confusion between men and women, so largely to have a place amongst us for our ladies and for our girls? Because it is in the eyes of the Lord the same. It is in His eyes all one. Ladies, girls, if we could only make you to feel the loathsomeness of this sin, if we could only make you to feel how abominable that this is before the Lord, then you would not do this anymore. There is a mark in our society. What a wonder that we still have that mark. Our society still sees the skirt and the dress as the special mark of femininity. And when we really saw the abomination, then we would not appear different, not even in your barns. When you would say, I appear before the Lord of heaven and of earth. Neither, ladies, would you be so free to allow your hair to be cut. Remember that everything that tends to obscure that difference between the man and the woman, that is that sin of confusion. All uncleanness is accursed of God. Oh, may the Lord bring us back again. And may the Lord keep us from going further, so that those sins which we call abomination today are not by our children not seen as abomination anymore. Sometimes we fear that it will be but a matter of time when we have gone, until we have gone so far that we also see nothing abominable about the feminine man and about the homosexual. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Since both our body and souls are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. So what do they say? It is not only outward. No, they say it is also inward. Is that from the Bible? Yes, that is from the Scripture. The Lord Jesus Himself says that it is not only those who outwardly commit adultery, but He says, that man that is looking at a woman, that he may lust after her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus do? He teaches his people, his disciples, about the spirituality of the law. That it not only extends to our bodies and to our outward actions, but he says that that law that extends even unto your heart, your spirit, that which no person in this world can see, but that which the omniscient God does see. It is no sin that a man look upon his wife. Where is the sin? That sin is when a man will look upon one who is not his wife, another man's wife. Congregation, where is the man that will find himself guiltless of this sin? We read about Job. The Lord himself spoke of Job. And he said about Job that he was a perfect and an upright man. That he was a man that feared God. He was a man that eschewed evil. And what did Job say? Job says that he had to make with his own eyes a covenant. He had to make with his own eyes an agreement that he was not going, he says, to look upon a maid. Do you understand, ladies? Do you understand, girls? How important then your clothing is? Do you understand that you may easily be the cause of the sins of men? We read here, and whatever can entice men thereto, whatever can entice the thought of a man. We see that the styles today, they are shorter in their skirts, and they are tighter in their tops. You say, maybe, young people, I can't find any other clothing in the store. I don't believe so. It may be you will not be quite in style as the newest styles are. That may be. But you don't need to be in style. You need to be without guilt. You need to be without uncleanness. Parents, what are we allowing our children to walk in this world? Do we allow them to walk in those, in that clothing that is able to entice the thoughts of a man? Oh, young people, harlots, they entice the lust of a man. A chaste woman, she entices his heart. She looks for something that not all men have. She looks for a good character. Do you understand, young people? We come towards spring and then summer. Do you understand why it is not possible for us to be with the crowds on the beaches in the summertime? Whatever can entice men thereto. You say, is swimming wrong? No, it is not swimming. It is our heart. It is the clothing, or rather the lack of clothing. It is our deep fall. We have ruined it for ourselves. All uncleanness is accursed of God. What happens, boys and girls, when you are filthy, dirty, and you touch your friend? You say, then, my friend, he also becomes filthy, dirty. The lepers, they had to cover their upper lip, and they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Why? So that no one would come near them. Because uncleanness, that is so very contagious, young people. We hope that you will have nothing to do with uncleanness. Solomon says, avoid it. Pass by it. Turn away from it. He says, pass away. Oh, all uncleanness, we need to flee the temptation. Why? Because our heart that is so privy to uncleanness. We have a heart that is seeking out uncleanness. Keep yourselves pure, young people, in dating. You do not belong to one another yet. Hopefully one day that the Lord will give you to one another, and how glad you are going to be when the Lord has kept you from sin. What are we doing, young people, on the internet? Are we looking at filthy pictures that draw forth the lust of the heart? Do you know what the Lord says? He says that there is a remedy for burning. That is marriage. Then seek it out in the way of the Lord. Parents, do we indeed need internet in our home? Is our internet truly filtered? Are we looking at the reports that are coming back? Are we watching what is going on in our own home? Parents, do we know what our children are doing? Do we know where they are and what they are doing even in our own home? There are parents that today mourn for things that have taken place in their own home. There are today husbands and wives that cannot have a normal relationship because of things that have taken place when they were young. Between friends, brothers, sisters, even with parents. All uncleanness is accursed of God. And what are we doing, husbands and wives? Are we also perverting that holy marriage bed? Do we violate nature? Do we violate that divine order? Do we take in our own hands what belongs in the hands of the Lord? That we try to plan our own family? That we try to limit our own children? Will we receive the pleasures of marriage out of the hand of the Lord and have no desire for the responsibilities and the toils that He places upon parents? It is not our prerogative to open the womb. It is not our prerogative to close the womb. That is a right reserved unto the Lord. And it was for this that the Lord slew Onan. All uncleanness is accursed of God. Congregation, are there a people who with that seventh commandment must come in the guilt? Is there a people who need also a remedy? Let us sing first. Psalter 23, verses 1 through 4. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good, corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 23. Thank you.
all uncleanness is accursed of God. Congregation, we have said that this is a commandment in which we see an intimate union between guilt and pollution. And thus, it is a commandment that makes filth a sin and the filthy one a sinner. Filth a crime and the filthy one a criminal. Thus, it is as it were a double sin. It is a sin of impurity, of unholiness, but it is also a sin of unrighteousness. Is there a people who must, under the preaching of that seventh commandment, come in the guilt? Because of my life, because of my heart, or is there anyone to whom that we are sent this day to say, thou art the man? Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That is a sin that often takes place in darkness. We try to hide it. Well, it is a good thing that there still may be some shame among us, because the world does not try to hide it anymore. But when the Lord will expose it in our life, then David says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thus the Lord brought home unto David his own guilt. And now what does David need? Two things. He needs on the one side to be forgiven, and he needs on the other side to be cleansed. He needs to be forgiven his guilt, and he needs to be cleansed from all his filthiness. That is, for this double sin, then David needs a double remedy. Do you need such a double remedy also? Is there such a double remedy available? Is there such a double remedy preached unto us in the Word of God? Maybe you say, I think it is impossible. I feel so guilty, I hope so. I feel so filthy and so polluted. It is such a wonder, congregation, how the Lord has provided for the salvation of his own people. How? When John stood by the cross, then he may witness the awful suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave a testimony, what he saw. And then he saw that sword pierce his side. And what does he say came out? He says that there came out blood and water. Blood and water. Not just blood and not just water, but blood and water. Later on in his own epistle, then he writes, this is he and that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood.
And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true. Why, he says, that ye might believe. That ye might believe. You who cannot believe, because you say, I am so guilty and I am so polluted. You who cannot believe, because you say God is so just and I have sinned so against him. You who cannot believe because you say God is so holy. And my whole heart that brings forth nothing but pollution. Forthwith came there out blood and water. It is a legal foundation for the complete forgiveness of all that sin. And it is at the same time a fountain to cleanse and to wash and to make a person so clean, so holy, that he is able to again enter into that blessed presence of the Lord. Can you still not believe it? Oh, we see a woman. She is brought unto the Lord Jesus. It is by the enemy. She has committed adultery. And then we will listen to the words of the Lord Jesus himself. What does he say? He says, woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How is it possible? Did he not uphold the law? What was supposed to be done with that woman? Do you know that, boys and girls? She should be stoned. Stoned. Put to death. That was the law. And now that great lawgiver and that great judge, he says to that guilty and that filthy woman, neither do I condemn thee. How is it possible? Did he then not uphold the law? He will uphold his law. And he will forgive that woman at the same time. Because soon he is going to hang upon that cross. And out of his sight, there is going to come forth blood and water, sufficient for all the guilt of the church, and sufficient to wash them, and to cleanse them, and to bring them into that blessed communion again. And at the same time, he says to that woman, woman, go and sin no more. That is, enter now into that life of sanctification. Congregation, thou shalt not commit adultery. All uncleanness is accursed of God. There is not one that is without guilt. We sang it together. Not even one. And there is not one that is without filth, because who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? Oh, ask the Lord to open your guilt and your shame. And ask the Lord to open what he has done in his blessed mediatorial work. He says there is a fountain
that is open
for what? Two things. It is a fountain open for sin, and a fountain open for uncleanness. Not two fountains, one fountain, one name, given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, seek. Seek to be forgiven. Seek to be covered with that blood and to be washed, that you also may be brought forever and forever to dwell without sin. Amen. Lord, what a wonder that we may yet speak of that fountain. Oh, what a wonder that thou didst open such a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, thou knewest what would be necessary even from eternity. And thou didst fulfill it in the time. Oh, that he may become so necessary to us, and that we may see that mercy and redemption full and free in him is found. Oh, Lord, bring us to that place to receive it all from thee. Bring us safely home and give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy with our children. Wilt thou be with us in the week to come? We hope to gather again for a day of prayer. Oh, give a desire to be together, to preach, and also to hear. And may thou supply in our needs. Also, when we will meet as a consistory, as catechism classes, confession class, remember each one in the calling we have in this life. Forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 140, stanzas 1 through 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. O cleanse, cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. All stanzas of Psalter 140.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.